Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. Can our comfort shows of old and IPs that we used to love still be made new and fresh? Well, we're going to talk about that and more on today's episode of Systematic Geekology, doing another What's News episode, mainly talking about the Scrubs revival season, as well as the live action One Piece on Netflix and a show called Euphoria. I'm excited for all this. It's going to be fun. I am Joshua Knoll. Just here to talk about pirate stuff. And here with the one and only, the great Dr. Reverend Leah Robinson. Great to have you on.
Always a pleasure.
I say that like you're a guest. Like, this is like a normal thing now, but like,
I take any and all titles if you want to just keep adding them. Yeah.
Captain, Dr. Reverend.
Princess Leah Robinson. On the rocks.
What? My brain's just like, is it ma'am if someone gets like knighted that's a female? I feel like I only ever hear sir. Is it still sir? Sir,
I think it's dame, isn't it?
Oh, I don't like that.
Like, you're like Dame Judi Dench?
Maybe, but I don't like that. So I don't want to call you a dame.
You don't have to do that. You can call me a sir because gender is a social construct.
Perfect, so. Perfect. Sir Leah Robinson. Well, both of us would really appreciate if you guys listening would take the time to rate and review our show wherever you get your podcast. We can't knight you, but we can thank you if you do it. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it. Wherever you do it, it does help algorithms think we're important so other people find the show, and it's a huge help. It's also a huge help if you support the show financially, so we like to shout out our financial sponsors. Today, we're shouting out specifically Jonathan Augustine, who was the first one to buy the May the 4th t-shirt. So, like, yeah, kudos, Jonathan. And if you guys want your own May the 4th Star Wars Systematic Geekology t-shirt,
Sue Stewart, get it.
You can do that. I put a lot of work on it, so I need at least two people to get it. That'll make my day.
Those are cool.
You know what? I thought so. I like them. So if you guys want to get merch like that, you do that on their website. Also, if you want to become an official member and help support the show financially, like Jonathan does, you do that on the website as well. There's a lot of stuff over there, so check the show notes, go to the website. Do something, you know. We also, for official members, I forgot, we have a promo for all of our members on the website to get a $50 off of Theology Beer Camp 2026 in Kansas City. So if you guys, you know, thinking about coming and hanging out with us at Beer Camp, become an official member.
Although, do we have unique things now? Because I think
it's all the same, that. But I don't know. Oh.
Because I have to do my girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Theology on the Rocks.
I don't know. I think it's all the same. It's not like I'm, you know, a part of it or know what's going on or have the code.
You can tell who played sports and who didn't.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I'm doing wonderful. But anyway, we do like to, on this, instead of talking about what we've been geeking out on lately, lightning round. Talking about our lightning round, just talking about some of the things that have been out recently that we've enjoyed that aren't our main topics.
I will say, and this actually works really well for the lightning round, because I watched the movie. I try to watch like a lot of the Oscar movies. And so I saw Begonia, the one with Jesse something from Friday Night Lights and But it's a movie, and I will say that I went in, Emma Stone, thank you, Stuart. Emma Stone, and it's this director that she was in, if you saw, I think Poor Things was the thing he did before, but he makes weird movies. Like, this one is very, like, I will tell you the premise, and then I'll let you watch it. It's basically, there's these conspiracy theory brothers who think that the CEO of this company is an alien, and they kidnap her.
Interesting.
And so it is a little, you know, you've got that point. So it's nothing of what you think of, like, the sort of fancy high art Oscar movies. So I would say I want to leave it at that, and you can watch it. See what happens. That's all good. The triggers. All the triggers.
That's good. I totally meant to today write down all my lightning round picks so I would remember them, because I have, like, a lot that I wanted to say. I had a very busy day, guys. It didn't happen.
You did.
I know. Knoll is getting near the end of its limited time comic run, the Al Ewing writing, and it's pretty awesome. So I'm gonna shout out that comic. Starfleet Academy wrapped up. I'm a lot more positive on it than I think other Star Trek fans seem to be. It's not my favorite. I mean, it's not one of my main picks today. So obviously, I wasn't like, I don't like it as much as Strange New Worlds. That was awesome. But, you know, it was really good. The new Daredevil season kicked off. I like it a lot, but not as much as some of our other hosts. So I just leave that for them to talk about, because I'm like, man, I love it, but I don't think anyone can love it as much as Kevin Schaefer loves that show. So, like, that's his territory. I'm not touching it. The new Darth Maul, also awesome.
I'm going to make Christian mad because I'm writing an academic paper on the new Rey series and theology.
Nice. That's what I've been geeking out on, is Leah's writing.
It's a co thing with me and Stuart. We're going to write about, and then I'm going to go do a talk at Will Rose's church about it.
That's my church. I'm going to go.
It's okay.
I'm a member, so, like, I feel like I gotta go to, like, cool events.
If you're on the register, then you can come. Otherwise, you can't. Sorry. But yeah, it's called A Theology of the Heroine's Journey.
Fun. Man, I know I'm skipping stuff, but the one I know that I thought would surprise you, that you might, you know.
Oh yeah, I've been ready.
Someone out there is going to judge me for this, but I don't care. Love on the Spectrum is phenomenal.
Yes!
Season 4 just came out, and I'm in love. I was sad with what happened to Connor and them, but as a whole, the season was great. It was fun. It was the same reason I like all the other seasons. It's just, you know, people on the Spectrum falling in love, and it's great.
Isn't that what Will says at the beginning of the episode, is we all geek out on something, so it's not just Star Wars and Star Trek and comic books. That's my voice. It's also all the other things we geek out about.
You know? I very seldomly do I get into those, like, love shows or whatever. Like, my wife watches a lot of them. But, like, that one, I'm like, hold up. I don't want to miss Love on the Spectrum. I love it. I don't know what it is. Like, this is awesome.
I will
awesome.
Put it on when I'm feeling bad. And this guy, I had no context because I just jumped in. And this one guy was just like, I'm going to go on a date tonight, and I'm going to start talking. And he started listing all these facts about dinosaurs. He's like, I know a lot about dinosaurs. I'm going to talk about dinosaurs. And I thought, I would have been okay on this date.
I was like, some of them, I'm like, you're awesome. These people are wonderful human beings. It's fun. I like that. There's another one. It's not Bridgerton, but there's another one of those, like, time periods. Like, every now and then, like, either, like, the reality shows or those, like, period, like, romance pieces do pull me in. And this is one of those where I'm like, this is just, it's good. I think part of it is because they have recurring characters different seasons. Like, I'm not just watching someone fall in love and then they lived happily ever after. Like, you actually see what happens next. And I'm like, that makes me like it a lot better.
I need to know about that one guy that met Jack Black, that was really obsessed with Jack Black. Yes. If he found love eventually.
I really cheered for all of them. I think that's what it is. Like, you just find yourself really cheering for their happiness, and then you're like, you have to know what happens.
But also, I love it because they treat them like there's a the, a lot of these shows, especially on TLC, you could say are exploiting people, but I feel like they really respect who they are as like humans. And, you know, when they say they don't want to go on another date, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to make you go on a date with this person because they're like, I didn't like that person.
But I think, like, it also just makes more sense to me. Like, I have a hard time with like the cognitive dissonance with like some of these shows where it's like, we're finding this person, they're a perfect match. And I'm like, this supermodel had a hard time finding love. And you're like, what? But like this one, I'm like, oh, okay. I actually see where like they need to find somebody else who's like them and make a good fit. I'm like, gosh, this makes
hard,
sense.
It's hard being intelligent and gorgeous.
I wouldn't know.
It took me a while to find Stuart, my little geek.
Oh man. So with that, like, I feel like I got carried. I knew I was going to, but yeah, it's a good show. That's all I'll say for now. So jumping in some of the main stuff before we get to like the actual main topics, I want to say some stuff that's coming up new that's not out yet that I'm looking forward to. There is a comic being written this summer for Pride Month that's going to be a continuation of Adventure Time. Some really good creators on board. Some of the other Adventure Time comics have won Eisner's. Like, their comics aren't just like silly cartoons. Like, they really continue the story in some pretty cool ways. And I get to see more of Princess Bubblegum and Marceline, who's just one of my favorite fantasy couples of all time. So I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Then later in the year, we're looking at possibly getting Fable and Planet Zoo 3. I love a good building game. So that's awesome. Also, Jurassic Park Survivor, a Survivor Jurassic Park game. It's going to be great. So a lot of stuff. Oh,
I thought it was another movie. I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, I want more movies. I just love dinosaurs.
I don't feel sorry for him anymore. I'm like, at the first, I was like, quit going to the island. I mean, sure, that T-Rex somehow ended up in New York that one time, but like, it's fine. Come on.
Oh, man. Oh, I love all of it. But also, One Piece announced a Lego One Piece movie on Netflix, and it's going to be Usopp, which just makes so much sense. I would believe Usopp told any story. It doesn't mean that I believe the story is true, but I would believe any story he told was something that he said.
Yeah. I'm ready to see. I don't know if it's out yet, but I'm so ready to see the Super Mario
movie. I think it just came out, but that I'm not ashamed to say that I'm waiting for streaming because, you know,
I think I'm going to get me some popcorn and go and watch it.
The first one was really entertaining.
Here's the deal. I don't usually go like Lego movie. It all comes quite monotonous, but I love Super Mario. Like, that was my jam.
That's fair.
I was right in that age group. And so, you know, I don't do video games now. I'm not a gamer. That's for the other one in the house. But like, you give me a Rainbow Road and I'm going to take you out.
Wow. So you're going to tell me about a show called Euphoria, which I'm just going to throw out there. I'm immediately interested in because it has Zendaya. I'm iffy because Sydney Sweeney or whatever is on it. Yeah, I don't like her, but like Zendaya.
Well, luckily you don't have to like her on the show.
Perfect.
Either.
So what's, in fact, she's, what is this?
She might be the villain. So what's the show about? Okay, I have to say this too. Like, Euphoria has every single trigger warning on planet Earth. Like, I don't know if there is a good website because I've been teaching a movie class about Jesus, but there's a lot of really interesting films about that. It's called DoesTheDogDie.com. And it's essentially you do all of this. Yeah, it's like basically my students told me, they were like, we've been doing that before every movie so that we know what happens. Cause there's a couple of like Life of Brian. I forgot. There's just a full nudity scene, you know,
and I don't remember that either. So
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't either. And you're just like, oh, Life of Brian, this is fine. Or like Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh, come to find out Judas is a person of color. Like Jesus is very white. Like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. So let me start by saying Euphoria has them all. I'm not sure there's a single trigger warning that doesn't occur in Euphoria. So you should just know that going in. Also, I think if you have kids, I'm sorry ahead of time. Like, because I think what this show does, it's a bunch of people that are basically in high school in the first season, and they've been friends for a really long time. And you can tell that, like, they interact with each other. They clearly have known each other since like elementary school. But what ends up happening is as they get older, they all kind of take on these different things that happen because we're all living these lives. And they start to shift, but they still come together as a group. So like one is a drug dealer. One is, you know, wanting to write this big play and be like a New York Times writer. You've got a transgender person on the show. You've got Zendaya. Yeah. So basically they do what we would do if we lived in a small town, which was very akin to the town like that I grew up in, where you knew all these people since you were young and you would pass them on the street, but like maybe someone's on meth and someone's, you know, off doing something, but you can still pass them and be like, oh, hey, Leah, like, what's up? And so that's what the show is about. It's about relationships, but it's also about what these kids are going through. Some of them you would hope to be your children and some you would hope would never be your children. But I will say the thing about it that is the most amazing part that will, I think, hook you, because it is shocking. This is HBO.
Is it Zendaya? Because I am hooked already.
Zendaya is like, I actually saw her do an interview because she has a new movie out with Rob Pattinson. And he said, do you ever watch her old films? And she goes, I don't, but if I really want to impress people, I'll show them Euphoria.
Interesting.
Is what she'll say. Because she is just, her story is the core of it. And it is, I mean, she could do anything. And I'm like, there's not to give away, but there's no reason why you should root for her in the show. Mm-hmm. But every second you're rooting for her. So again, it's a tough show to watch, especially if you have kids and you're just watching these kids and you're just like, oh no. But it also, I think, gives a little window into the world where it's like, this is what life is like in 2026. Mm-hmm. Like I saw Tucker Carlson starting to say things that make sense. And it's really, I know. Between him and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm like, you guys are causing me some dissonance here. But he was saying one of the reasons that a lot of people voted for Trump was this idea of protecting. It wasn't so much him or his values, but it was this idea that he would protect essentially their values. And when you watch the show, you just realize, I'm not sure that the values, what are you, as much as you're trying here, I don't think you can keep them from this life. Like, not everyone's going to become a method. I'm not saying that. But like, I think what this show shows is that the days of like us coming home at dark on our bicycles, like that's not a world that we exist in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you might be living in a, like, there's one mom especially that's just completely living in a fantasy world of like, my kid is the greatest. And it's like,
just not true.
It's just not true. And then there's one mom who's terrible and her kid is the greatest.
Man, don't you hate it?
You know? Right. Exactly. I'm not sure what kind of, it's not a parenting handbook, I'll tell you that. But so it's a rough show and I really want to lead with that. But if you can get kind of past, especially that first season, all you want to do is like hug Zendaya.
I don't think my wife would like that as much.
Well, I don't know that you'd even want to hug her in that. Well, she's just so, listen, she just needs so much help.
Listen, I keep things PG as much as I can.
Well, then don't watch this show.
Well, I mean, like me personally and like how I like behave online. But like,
well,
and usually if shows like even have like sexual things, like, I'll go to the other room. I'll, like, this is what I'm going to use the bathroom break, and maybe it'll be done by the time I come back.
You're going to be in the bathroom for, like, the whole series.
But, see, all this is, like, but, with, like, a big asterisk. When Zendaya had a movie that was, like, that thruple thing, I'm like, I don't care. It's Zendaya. I want to watch this.
She was perfect casting for this, because I think you needed someone, because she's pretty, you shouldn't root for her.
Yeah.
And like the whole time you are just like, no, girl, no. But it is a series of you going, no, no.
So when I Googled the show and I do like all the like Google analytics to see like what are other people asking about the show? Mm-hmm. I had a question that I was like, I'm interested to hear your answer because I know nothing about the show.
Okay.
The question that, like, apparently one of the questions get asked a lot to Google, does the show critique addiction and hypersexualization, or is it, does it risk aestheticizing the very things that it's trying to challenge? Like, there's variations of that question existed, and I reworded it.
I would say that in terms of the drug addiction, I don't think it glamorizes it. If anything, it makes it seem pretty rough. Like, it's a key, both of those aspects. This show is basically about growing up too fast and what that looks like. And that some people grow up too fast, not of their own, it's not their fault. You know, they're forced into these situations. And so I think there's that, but I don't think the drug stuff is glamorized in that show. Like, if anything, you leave feeling pretty yucky about.
Gotta love a show that makes you feel yucky.
It does.
I really do sometimes. Like, there are some shows that I really do. I'm like, I like that this made me uncomfortable the whole time.
It makes you uncomfortable the whole time. But I will say, then there are certain characters that, because you're like, Leah, why are you watching this? It's yucky. It's making you go in the bathroom all the time. Like, what's the draw is you do start to, again, if you can get through that first season, you start to really care about these characters. Like, there is one scene where the drug dealer in the town, Zendaya, is like banging on his door saying, let me in. You made me like this. And they've been friends since, you know, elementary school. And she's like, you did this. How dare you not let me in and give me drugs? And he's like, I'm not letting you in. I'm not going to watch you kill yourself. And so it's just, but that scene is one of the more powerful ones in the first season, because she is like yelling at him and he is just not going to open the door. And it is, I think the characters would get it. Now, the sexual stuff, does it glamorize that? That to me is a more debatable question. A lot of the sex stuff that happens, and there's a lot, so make sure your kids are in bed before you watch this. A lot of the stuff is, again, people being a product of their situation. So it's not something that is helped by a lot of things. In that way, and the parents are trash, so that doesn't help either. But I wouldn't say any of it's not necessary.
Yeah,
like none of it seems gratuitous, but does it glamorize it? Maybe. I'm thinking one storyline in particular is, it does glamorize it.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't want to get stuck here, so I'm just gonna drop this. But like, I think sometimes you end up in this weird area where you have shows like this that's high schoolers, but like, we all know the actors aren't. So like, people have sexualized the actors, and the show knows that they can make money by playing into that. But at the same time, the show is supposedly about high schoolers. Like, you have a lot of that with like the first few seasons of Archie, where like, we just recently watched all that, and I was going, I'm like, that person's 16. This isn't cool. You know, but it's like, no, that actor is like 20 something. I'm like, I don't know, but you're asking me to believe he's 16.
You put Sydney Sweeney on the screen and it's like,
yeah,
I mean, that you're already, which I feel bad as a girl who is also has a body type, not like Sydney Sweeney, but you know, let's get real, but like, no, you can laugh all you want.
Just the way you said it was funny.
Nobody's looking like that except for her. But I get that. Automatically there is something that's happening on the screen with this person, you know, and the people know what they've got on Euphoria with her. Mm-hmm. So it plays a lot into her storyline. Mm-hmm. But again, with her storyline, you just feel kind of sad about it. Cause it's not like, no one takes her seriously.
Yeah.
She becomes kind of the bimbo, the dumb bimbo. And you get to see the backstory, and her dad left. And you, again, this is what I'm saying, the character development you get to see, but it doesn't stop her from making poor choices. And again, glamorizing, there's one, again, if y'all have seen it, there's one storyline that makes me pause and not say no completely. But I will say in general, I don't think it glamor, if anything, it makes you feel bad for these people.
Yeah. I do want to throw out there, since you commented on Sydney's body type.
Yeah.
I am not single. I only have eyes really for one woman.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were single, I would much prefer to see Zendaya on screen. That's all I'm That's all I have to say.
Well, just luckily for you in the show, you can like people on the Stuart's listening right now. I mean, I hate Jacob Elrodi in the show. He is nasty. But when I saw him in Wuthering Heights, I felt like my soul had left my body. So, you know, it's absolutely fine.
Wait, okay. That's the guy who plays Frankenstein? He's in this?
Yeah.
Oh, I can convince my wife to watch it. Perfect. That's all I needed. So I can watch more.
Yeah,
we'll both get a lot out of this.
You both will get a lot of, except he's the bad guy. Yeah, he's the bad guy. I don't know. I mean, Zendaya is on the screen a lot more. So that's what she's the main.
That's
main
good character. For me. Anyway.
Yeah.
So if you had to rate it 0 to 10, where would you put Euphoria overall?
There's only been, I think, three seasons, actually.
I think I saw 3 and 4 is coming out.
Four is coming out right. April 12th, which I'm rewatching it with Stuart because he's not seen it.
Me neither.
So that's why it was fresh on the brain. How would I rate it out of 10? So far, I mean, I'm kind of a harsh grader. 7 out of 10? 6, 7 out of 10. It's worth a watch, and it makes you feel things, and especially if you like acting, it's a masterclass in acting. Mm-hmm. But you really have to wrestle with what's happening on screen.
Yeah.
So guard your hearts and your minds, as they say in the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Look at the dog die before you watch an episode. Because
leave the Bible on the couch with you.
Yes. Put a Bible between you and Zendaya on the screen and then watch.
Howdy, guys. I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time, and we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange, and the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out, because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident, basically just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt, instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out, and thank you.
So with that, I'm going to try and cover the next one somewhat quickly if I can. My other pick is going to be One Piece, the Netflix live action. I do really love it. It's not as good as the manga, not as good as the anime. Mostly I love it because it's like, wow, some of my friends like Will, I can now talk to about stories that have meant a lot to me. This has been going on longer than TJ's been alive. It's like since 97, One Piece has been going. Like, it's not over yet. He pointed out in a recent episode that some of these characters I've been reading about longer than he's lived. So, like, I have a lot of attachment to some of these characters.
It's a humble brag. Yeah. It's a real humble brag, isn't it?
But, you know, that being said, some of my favorite arcs happened in what they covered of the season 2 in the live action. Of course, they're cutting a lot out. They're brushing through fast. They're making, like, some changes. They kind of have to. I still think it's worth it to have this in the world. I think they do a pretty good job with the adaptation. And I love that I can now talk to some of my friends who don't like anime about this anime I really love. So, you know, it works out for me. My wife was in the room when we watched the Laboon episode. For those who don't know, Laboon is a whale who is continually crashing up against this mountain. He accidentally eats the ship with all of the crew except for Luffy. Luffy got off and he's like, oh, I'm going to beat the whale up. I'm going to figure out what's going on. And then you hear the whale's story. The whale was part of a different pirate crew, and they had to leave him behind to get past the mountain. And he keeps crashing into the mountain because he's going to see his crew again one day. And you're like, well, damn, I don't want anything bad to happen to the whale. And they did change how Luffy reacts to this in live action. Here, he ends up doing the sun dance and kind of reassures him that, hey, I don't know what happened to your old crew, but you can be one of us. And that's where he gets the big straw hat crossbows painted on them and all that. And yeah, my wife was like, why did you tell me about this?
I love this wave.
I have on whole church before, like out of the blue when I haven't even been watching, you know, the show or anything. And we did like our silly question. And it's like, what's your favorite sea animated sea creature? I'm like, Laboon. I love him. So I think they did that really well. I like the dance. They did the well, for those who know, they do the sun god's dance, Mika's dance. But anyway, you also
I'm sadder about this whale than the Euphoria kids. And I feel like we all need therapy right now.
The whale will make you cry. That it's true. But they also go to Little Garden. They see some dinosaurs. And so some of the stuff that I feel like live action takes away from, because like animation and manga can do some stuff that you're able to not really think of it as silly as it really is, or it allows you to just view it differently, and it's hard to do some of that in live action. Live action does dinosaurs better. Just gonna throw it out there. When you see Luffy go, it's a dinosaur, and jump on it, and you see the people's reaction, how do you feel like you have time to ride a dinosaur right now? And he's like, it's a freaking dinosaur. And you're like, you know what? In live action, I'm watching it going, no, I think Luffy's right, guys. Like, I think he has a point here. And it's great.
The first Jurassic Park still holds up in my 90s brain.
Like, the CGI isn't great because like it's a Netflix show, but it's still like, I love it. Even like Zoro and Sanji fighting over who killed a T-Rex. Like Zoro's like, you can't kill a T-Rex with a kick. And I'm like, yeah, it was awesome. So I love how they did that. Chopper, my favorite character, the blue-nosed reindeer, who's also a doctor. Great. Excellent. Also a sob story. I don't want to like give you the whole thing, but none of the other reindeer wanted to play reindeer games. I'll say that. That's a thing. And humans wanted to kill him because he accidentally ate the human fruit. So now he can stand upright and he looks a little bit human, which makes all the villagers go, oh, he must be a monster, and attack him. And of course, he finds the one doctor who's a cast out on the island of the world's best doctors. And there's one that everyone's like, oh, he's a quack. And of course, that's the doctor who's going to care for little Chopper, take care of him, and then die. Because Chopper made a medical mistake and accidentally killed the one guy who loved him.
Joshua.
Oh, God, I'm telling you.
Just know that Zendaya is happy with Tom Holland. At least there's that. This has way more.
There's so much. So much. But, you know, so when he meets the Straw Hat crew and Luffy says, we are going to fly that other flag from your old doctor. We're going to protect you. And you're not a monster. You're my friend. It's so good. And like in the anime does it so much better. I will say that the only thing that bothers me in the live action that they changed, they don't play into the monster thing as much. Like they talk about monster, but in the anime and in the manga, Chopper's like, that's a really hurtful word to me. Like saying that word to me is really hurtful. And like, they actually have to explore and navigate it. But I think it's because they're having to like skip a lot of stuff. And in the live action, they were just, you know, obviously he didn't like them calling him a monster. But then at one point, Luffy's like, I'm a monster too. Being a monster is awesome. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that's fine. But I liked that deep, intimate conversation that they had. And I don't like that you skipped that. But at the end, they still hit all the emotional tones. Chopper is cute as hell. And everything's played right. Vivi's set up for the Alabasta run. And they've already announced that the Alabasta arc is going to come out next year, which if you know, you know. And if you don't, it's fine. Just know that's actually my favorite arc. It's between Alabasta and Drum Kingdom when you meet Chopper. So the fact that I got one of them and I'm getting the next one next year, oh, so good. It's just so good. And even how they show Crocodile, it's like old school campy bad guy at the very end, that cliffhanger. He's sitting there with the crocodiles going around. He's got his big cigar and a hook for a hand. And you're like, oh, yeah, next season. I can't wait. You know, like, let's just be as campy as we can. It's going to be awesome. Like no one expects anything less. I don't think so. A lot of emotion.
I love being with Stuart, like the nerd. Because the people like me, the Euphoria brain people, can get really lost in our own heads and the sad. And then he'll just be like, let's just watch this show with this thing. And I'm like, oh, I really like this.
Oh, it's great. I think the thing with me, too, why I love Chopper so much, I always identify with Luffy because of like the carefree attitude and just like how he's just happy and like everyone in the world's like, grr, and like, that's why I usually don't identify with heroes in our shows and animes and stuff, because I'm like, the hero is usually like, I have to do the right thing no matter what. And it's not like Luffy, who's like, everybody just have fun. And like, that's what Luffy's about. And that's why I love him so much. So when you have someone like Chopper, who's got this huge sob story, Luffy's like, you're a freaking reindeer. We're going to be friends. This is cool. It's just great. And like, as the story progresses, hopefully the live action lasts long enough for you guys to see this, like in the anime, like way down the road, years and years and years later, this sad story turns into you have Luffy and Chopper where they show up to Big Mom and like there's this huge kingdom and all the bad stuff and like everyone's like, oh no, tyranny, and Luffy's like, wait a minute, you're telling me these houses are made of cake? And him and Chopper are like eating and having fun and everybody else is being serious and you're like,
and the dinosaurs are dying.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah. But so, you know, I love Chopper. I'm glad he's here. I thought the show did good overall, because this year our annual theme is the faces behind us. I am going to mention something from the show that I thought was cool, that like both Laboon and Chopper very much rely on seeing who were the faces behind these characters. We're not just introduced to a whale. It's like, well, why did the whale eat the crew? We're going to beat the whale up. It's no, there's a story here. There's a reason behind this. We don't have to punch the whale in the face. There might be another way to go about things. Same thing with Chopper. It's like, there's just more than meets the eye. And I like that they show kind of the faces behind these people. What is it who makes them who they are? And everyone has more of a story than you'll ever guess upon first meeting them. And I just love that Luffy and the gang, even though they're embarking on this huge thing in a world that's ruled by this terrible government, and they're like, we're going to take the time to kind of get to know people. We're going to make friends along the way. And I love it. So it's good.
And I will say, because I didn't talk about the theme like 1 minute, is that I will say one of the things about Euphoria you like is you do get to see the faces, because at first watch you're like, these people are just terrible people. But because you see what they were like as kids and how they got to where they are, it gives more depth to it and you care more about that. So that was a minute. You laughed. That was less than a minute.
That was good. No, but yeah. I'm bad at this, guys. But even we meet Princess Vivi. I love her. She's gonna have more of an arc in Alabasta, but they even kind of show some of her background. You see some of the faces behind her, and part of what this arc did for me and why I kind of like the seasonal out thing better than like the way the anime does is like, you have to wait a year, and I'm still, spoiler-ish warning, I feel like that might be important. The way that like it ends on the season, like I still have that little bit of like where you're kind of like secretly hoping that Vivi joins the crew for real. And I'm like, okay, they might not have the experience the same way I did watching the anime and reading the manga, but they're still going to have that where you're like, you really kind of think that's where this is going. It's not, but it's fine. Okay, spoiler over. Let's talk last topic. Scrubs revival. Leah, you want to, since I've talked a lot, do you want to share some of your history with the original run of Scrubs or some of these characters or whatever?
I think I watched it when it came out. Do you remember the date of when it first came out?
I think it was like 2001 something.
Yeah, y'all were not even born yet.
I was.
That's what DJ would say. So I was in college, so that's probably right. I have all the like box sets, which younger listeners, that's what you used to buy at Christmas time. I have
a Dexter box set, so.
Because you wanted to rewatch it. And Scrubs was something that you could really rewatch. Like, it was one. It was like, you could play it in the background. You know, it's not that complicated. There was underlying storylines, but it fed into a lot of the relationship between Zach Braff and Donald Faison. And also the writing, the guy that created it, I can't remember.
I'm blanking too, but yeah.
But yeah, but it was silly. It was episodic. It was silly. I do like Sarah Chalk as well. But I will say those two, it's about their relationship and like how much they a very unlikely duo working in the hospital. And so I just liked it. I mean, the characters are great. The nostalgia of being able to watch it again is like, oh, I'm in college and like, you know, my drinks are better now than they were back then. Yeah. But like, and you know, there's one boy as opposed to the boys. So I think like, you know, the situation's changed.
Yeah.
My furniture's better, but certainly it brings back that sort of nostalgic. I have thoughts about the reboot. If you want them right now, or I can just segue on. Oh,
just that, because I kind of want to, like, myself. I actually watched this in college too, just at a very different time. I wasn't allowed to watch it growing up, obviously. Great. But my best friend was like, "Hey, check this out." And then no one saw me for 3 days because I literally watched it, the whole thing, in one sitting. Didn't do anything else. Did not sleep. I come back downstairs when I'm done, like, completely red-eyed. He's like, "Dude, are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah." Instead of sleeping, I watched this. I love it. It is, between this and How I Met Your Mother, my favorite TV shows. They're my comfort shows. And this has aged significantly better, it turns out. There's still a lot of problematic things, but it's aged much better than How I Met Your Mother. So when the revival came out, my wife realized she's never seen the original all the way through. She's seen parts of it. So I'm now we're watching it all the way through the original ones. And I'm like, man, there's just so many, like, yes, it's silly and it's fun. And it's these people's relationships growing in a doctor, starting as interns. And I've heard from doctors that this is a lot more like what it's like working in the hospital than like Grey's Anatomy is. Because this was, like, before streaming was as much of a thing, people didn't binge as much. So the episodic nature, I think, allows for some of these single episodes to be so impactful just on their own. Like there's just so many episodes I find myself, like, in tears. Like, we're sitting on the couch, and, like, we both have recliners, but there's a thing in the middle so that she doesn't always see me. And I'm like, I'm not crying. It's, like, all the time. Like, it's just, it tugs on all of my emotional strings. And, like, it's just so genuine. I think that's what it is. It's like, it's genuine about the fact that, like, sometimes guys being friends, it's like, oh no, you can't be that close because that's gay. It's like, there's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
They talked about that too in the reboot. That was part of the thing, is that they were going to kind of break that down. And again, it's the early 2000s, but watching it week to week, I do think there was benefits to that. I watched Lost week to week as well. And I think that helped because we would just sit around and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that one episode, and then you had to wait a whole week to get another one. And so I think it has more of an emotional impact than if you watch it one after another.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh yeah, this is sad. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. I know, even watching it all the way through, like, it's only been a couple weeks and we're near the end. But, like, just watching, like, because you see the janitor and it starts off, little known fact, I think it's probably pretty well known now. Originally, the janitor was just going to be a figment of JD's imagination, and they changed their mind in the writing room later on. But, like, he's just there. He's a bully. He's making fun of people. He does whatever. But then you have this episode. I don't remember, like, all the, like, trimmings around it, but, like, he's talking to this patient who has lost his ability to communicate and all this stuff. And, like, he's talking to him. He's like, you know, I really thought that what I did here matters, because someone said something to him that was hurtful. And he's like, and I guess it doesn't. And he's, like, having this whole thing, whatever. And at the end of the episode, when the guy finally has his keyboard and is able to communicate again, it's, thank you. And Dr. Cox is in the room. He's like, oh, well, you know, no problem. He's like, I wasn't talking to you. And you see the janitor in the background, and I'm over here on the ground. I was like, oh, God. And it's like, this is the bully. But, like, you're in tears. And it's like, oh. That's just what this show does. Yeah. I think that's pretty much encapsulates. Like, it makes me sing along to the sing-along and be silly. But it also makes me go, oh, no, the janitor. You know,
right? Well, and I think too, like, I was a chaplain in a hospital. Yeah, some do suit week to week more, I think. I was a chaplain in a children's hospital, and so I would see, I remember I think I've said this, my first interaction with a student that was a medical student, the Auburn students would come to our hospital to train, and, like, they all looked like these kids basically, and they were terrified. And I remember going into a medical closet with one of them that was just crying, like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't think I should be here. And I was like, no, you go to Auburn, you're fine, like, I'm sure they're teaching you the right, you got this, you know. So I just think it is more akin to that. Like, there are some that are more confident, there are some that are less. And I think in the reboot, you definitely get to to see that.
Yeah, too. I think you're going to be a little bit more critical of the reboot than me. I love the reboot. I don't think it's as good as the original, but I don't think anything is. Maybe it's because of nostalgia. Maybe in like 10 years, I'll look back on the reboot and be like, man, that was it. I don't know. But like, I do love what they're doing with the new characters, bringing it up. They kind of dropped the ball on season 9, the original, first time around. But a little asterisk, that was created during a writer's strike. It wasn't meant to be the same. It was just meant to have something because some of the people didn't have work. And that's why I just, it didn't have the same quality. But here we have these new students. They're at the original Sacred Heart. JD's there. And like, it made me feel like so many times we have these reboots, this whatever, and it's like, oh, this is just nostalgia for nostalgia's sake or whatever. Some of what they're doing makes me feel like, no, maybe we actually do need this now. Like, maybe it actually does have something important to say. Like, it's talking about like how technology has changed. It has people being critical of this girl who's on social media all the time. But it turns out that was the only way she got to know her patient. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, the world's changed a lot. Yeah. These are some valid stories to explore.
I'm no Superman, and as opposed to putting the X-ray up, he does the iPad.
Yeah. But like
Bill Lawrence. Yeah. Bill Lawrence, I thought.
Yes. When you said the X-ray, I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like, I could see the picture in my brain. Which,
even like the way they do the song and everything, like it is very true to the original Cyril, and I do appreciate that. But anyway, sound like you have some critical ideas.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm not critical about everything. I'm not just, I mean, I always have thoughts, but I think I like the spirit of it. The spirit of it is still there. And the last episode I saw was the one where he's with the nurse that's been his friend. What is her name? Carla. Yeah. Carla. He's with Carla, and she's going through basically perimenopause, and he's trying to make her life better. But they're reminiscing about, she's like, remember when I called you newbie and now she called him Bambi. Mm-hmm. Remember I called you Bambi and now you're like chief of whatever. And I thought that was really sweet. I think those characters are necessary. I think what happened with that season that shall not be talked about is that they just had too many new people. And I think they've done a good job of staggering enough of the old stuff with the old characters with these new characters. My criticism would be that it feels like they're kind of trying to do a one for one with some of the new people to the old people. Yeah. Like
the one guy's definitely just Sean.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like you don't need to do, like they can be their own people. Like they don't need to like just recreate that. But you know,
yeah,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. they're older. I think it's fine. I do miss, at least in this stage, and again, I've seen, I think, all that's been released at this stage, the Dr. Cox, there's a Dr. Cox hole.
Oh,
I think.
Oh, great news. Today is streaming the episode where Cox is going to be back for at least part of the episode. I haven't seen it yet, but I know enough.
Well, he was back in the first one, and then he just left. And there's also a janitor hole, say.
Which I've heard he does make an appearance at some point. So, which I'm hoping for, because I love the janitor.
I love the janitor too, but I do think if they're doing these the one for one, like there needs to be some antagonist.
We need a bully. This show isn't the same without the bullies.
Right. Like Dr. Cox was like the benevolent bully, right?
I love
them. You need, because right now there's no real tension unless it's with the interns with each other, but like,
Or there was the whole like JD trying to get invited to the barbecue, but Carla decided they can't invite him because they invited Elliot, and spoiler.
Which I do appreciate as one who is now 43, Stuart. You do reach. I feel like we are at the same points in life, and you do kind of realize that like. It's a lot of my love for it, I think, is because it mirrored where I was at a given time, and now it's mirroring where I am. So these are tension points. Like, what do you do when you made your nerdy husband hang out with this guy, and then your BFF broke up with him, and and now he doesn't know what to do with this guy anymore? Like, those are real. I'm not saying that happened, but those are real things that can happen. And so I do appreciate that they're going along in life.
It was also funny because I mentioned we were rewatching the original all the way through. We were at the point of Carla being pregnant the first time when the episode of Carla having menopause came out. So that was just really funny timing for us. It was like, wow, this feels like, familiar. Like,
all the time. I was at a party at Passover and I just was like, oh my God, I'm so hot. It's so hot in here. And then everyone was looking at me like, are you okay? And I was like,
Yeah,
I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try not to like make it force, you know, the square peg in the circle hole, you know, whatever. But I think you have another faces behind you thing here, because very much you see Dr. Cox teaching JD one more lesson. And it's again, like, you see, like, JD's not who he is without Cox, and they're very different people, because you have, like, that thing at the beginning of Cox basically tricking him to have to stay in the hospital longer. And it's like, no, it's because I know you can do this. You can teach them. And it's so funny because, like, he's still a bully. And you can see where, like, how he is doesn't fit in the modern world, which valid.
That woman who walks around who's like,
funny. It's so funny.
As someone who works within academics in 2026, that human is a real human.
I
that's just like, don't use that language. Let's take it down. Let's just take it down.
I thought it was so funny. Like, rewatching it, I was kind of worried that my wife was going to be like, why do you think Cox is so funny? Like, why do you love him so much? But she loves him just as much as I do, but maybe more, because she also thinks.
But you need it. You need that. Because, like, JD, you can see he's on this, like, thing of, like, wanting them all to like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's on that train. And I will say, Turk, weirdly, is more like Dr. Cox than JD at this stage. Yeah. Like, he's given a little tough love. Not as tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I do think there needs to be someone.
Yeah. But it is interesting, because you can see still how, like, all throughout the original Scrubs, and then now in the iteration they have now, like, JD doesn't become who he is without Cox, but he's not imitating him. Like, I think he just needed someone who was willing to push him like that to really find his confidence. Like, I think that's what it is. It's like, he's just more confident than he ever was.
Also, why isn't Dr. Cox in this? What is his actor's name? Why is he not here? Where did he was there? Why is he? Is there? Do you have insights?
I think there's another show he was working on, I think was what it was. But he is at least in one or two more episodes. And I think they said he might be more prevalent in season two. I hope so.
Okay.
Because I need more of him.
Just because he's.
I want him to be not, like, medical board
he's
not or something.
Dead. Like, look at him. He's right there. He can still be a doctor.
I want him to be like, when Kelso retired and he just kept going to the cafe and just bothering Cox. I want Cox to do that to JD. Like, I want him to just be at the cafe and be like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate the Sarah Chalk tension with the new boyfriend, but we need Dr. Cox back.
Yeah, like, this is a Christian show, so we hate to say it, but we do need Cox. Anyway.
I just said justice for Cox, and then I went, oh, God. I did just tell them to watch Euphoria, so sorry.
They're a mature audience, hopefully.
They are.
I forgot to rate One Piece. I would probably give the live action season 2. Mm. And, you know, I'm going to do 6-7 out of 10. I'll do the same thing you do with Euphoria. The revival season of Scrubs, so far, I still gonna give it an 8. I'm still so emotionally invested, and I didn't realize until I started watching Scrubs again how rare it is for me to actively find myself laughing out loud. Like, I can't control it. And I'm like, I needed this in my life so desperately. So I'm
giving it an 8. I would give it an 8 too. You'll be happy to know.
Perfect.
For my heart song. I was like, for what it does to my heart. And then I'm like, wait, am I still in love with Zach Braff? Is that still a thing?
I'm not ashamed to admit that, I have two best friends. One's TJ. The one that's not TJ, when me and him see each other, we do sing the entirety of Guy Love every time without fail. And I think I'm going to sing that Sunday. I think I'm going to see him then. It's going to be great.
I mean, JD and Turk. Wait. In a world of Dr. Cox, be JD and Turk.
I was going to say, like, in a world that's more like Euphoria and everything's dark and everybody's forced to grow up so much, I'm going to be JD.
Right. Watch Euphoria, then watch Scrubs, and it'll, like, palate cleanse.
I think if you took JD and combined him with Luffy, somewhere in the middle, that's who I aspire to be. So,
having not seen the other show, I can say probably very close.
I hope so. I hope that I'm getting there. So, there we go. Wrapping this one up. Instead of doing our normal recommendations, we are tasked to pick one thing we mentioned today, whether it's from the speed round or anything else, as your recommendation. What of everything we talked about would be your top pick for people to go see if they're not going to see anything else we mentioned?
Oh, well, at first, until you started talking about that whale, I was going for the whale show, but now I don't know if I can emotionally handle that. Give me Euphoria over sad whales. Probably Scrubs. Interestingly enough, last night I was watching Euphoria, rewatching it, and I looked at Stuart and I went, I think I'm sad. Like, that was a real life conversation.
Yeah.
He goes, why don't we watch something else? And I said, okay. And so I think in a world where it's a lot right now, I think Scrubs is a nice beacon, even if you hadn't watched the first. You don't need to have watched the first go to watch this one.
Yeah. It's hard for me to pick one because, like, One Piece is my baby. I love it dearly. But I wasn't talking about the anime or the manga. We're talking about the live action. Weirdly enough, I almost went with something from our speed round. It said, you know what, guys? Go watch Love on the Spectrum. Because I think it's the perfect comfort show. But yeah, I am going to say Scrubs. I can't describe to you guys how rare it is for me to find myself laughing the way I laugh when watching this. And I think everybody needs that. So, yeah, I'm going to second that.
We do. And I think here's what I will say, and I've learned this for myself, and it's very akin to what you're saying, Joshua, is I think you have to watch shows based on where you're at in your own brain. Like last night where I was just like, I'm kind of sad. Like, you know, like if you're coming to TV with a mindset, then watch accordingly. You know, I think that is a healthy way to view television.
Yeah. Well, Christian's going to call me a hypocrite for going so far over, but he'll live. He might not even notice. We'll see.
Well, we didn't go 2 hours.
Yeah. So, for you guys to make up for it, give us extra rating and reviews and, like, leave the comment when you with a rating of, like, I only want Joshua to go over 40 minutes. That should be what your review is. thank you guys so much for sponsoring us, for your time listening, for doing those rating reviews. We also want to shout out our financial supporters. Today we're shouting out Jonathan Augustine. Jonathan, you're amazing. Thank you so much, man. You guys want your own shout out like Jonathan? You can become an official member of Systematic Geekology on our website in the show description. Again, don't forget, May the 4th t-shirts, discounts on Theology Beer Camp. You need to become a member. You need to go check out that website. It's great. Good stuff over there. And we also need to do one extremely important thing here, and that's to remember, we are all a chosen people, a kingdom of priests.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason. Or even, for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page. And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
Hey, everybody. This is Alex Matthews, and I'm just here to share with you guys about the Anasal Network. Hope you guys could check out Page and Pixel, which is a podcast about books and video games. Another podcast we would love for you to check out is Your Matter Matters. It's a podcast that puts the and in faith and science. We got Let Nothing Move You with Christian Ashley going through the whole Bible, one chapter at a time. And last but not least, another one called Some Joyful Muses, a music podcast with no rhyme, rhythm, or reason. This show has no set schedule or host, but periodically has some members from the Anasal Network posting discussions about various musical topics, everything from Taylor Swift to the music of Adventure Time and more. So I hope you guys will give those a listen, because I definitely will. As a matter of fact, I'm about to hit that subscribe button right now, and you should too.